So this is our first Saturday gathering after winter retreat, and community is beginning to make its adjustments to post-retreat mode. And we had a meeting this morning, sort of passing on various duties and responsibilities. So we're out of retreat. And of course, the theme that was used throughout the 3 months of retreat was the four Satipatthana. And so we spent 3 months exploring the these foundations of mindfulness, or these establishings of mindfulness. And now that we're out of retreat, we can continue to keep exploring it and don't leave them behind. Okay, that was the thing we did in the winter. But there's these are tools that we carry with us and continue to cultivate and develop and explore. And, as we explore the aspects of mindfulness, of course, one of the things that's always important to remember, to recollect, is the Buddha's phraseology just the wording is samma sati. In terms of cultivation of the path, sort of right mindfulness. And because, there's right mindfulness, there's wrong mindfulness. And this sense of right in terms of the path. And of course, the Pali word is samma, and is, say, appropriately translated as right. But it's also to get the sense of what that right means is recognized. Ajahn Jeff draws attention to it as a its root being in a musical term. So that when thinking of something as right, it's sort of right in tune, right in, or just right. So that mindfulness is functioning with the, say, in tune with the other factors of our practice, of our training, whether it's in terms of the cultivation of mindfulness of our body, speech, and mind, our body and speech in particular, sila, or cultivation of effort, or of mindfulness and investigation of view, that it all has to be in tune with each other, has to harmonize. And this is something that Ajahn Chah used, of course, place a lot of importance in, is how Dhamma is that which is just right. In Thai, is it Dhamma Kukwam Padi? It's just right. So when it's just in harmony, when it's in tune, then it leads to the ending of suffering. And that's it's its function, or it's its nature to do that. But it also works with other factors, and of course, in terms of the Eightfold Path, then it functions in sort of after effort, before samadhi, and so it's working. But it's all of the Eightfold Path our mindfulness plays a role in harmonizing, in balancing, or in the five spiritual powers, five spiritual faculties, faith, effort, mindfulness, samadhi, and wisdom, panya. The mindfulness is the balancing factor, or seven factors of awakening. Mindfulness is your first factor, but the Buddha also said it balances the others, or it's always needed to help. Again, help support all the other factors. So it's just this sense of, as we continue to, just living our living our life, living our life of practice and training. It's just learning how to incorporate mindfulness in a balanced way. And of course, the story from the suttas that everybody's heard, should know of Sona, the wealthy merchant son who grew up very, very pampered, but he gained a lot of faith and then put a lot of tremendous effort into his practice and doing so much walking meditation and putting so much effort in that his feet were bleeding. And of course, that got very discouraging, and he was ready to pack it in, disrobe, leave the robes. And the Buddha came to him and talked to him about, first thing he actually used is, rather than talking about balance and doing things in an actual practical way, because of his upbringing, he was very accomplished. He was an accomplished musician. So that the Buddha asked him did he know how to play in Veena. It's sort of like a lute or a guitar. And, if the strings are too tight, is the sound harmonious? Is it? And he said, no. If the strings are too loose, does the sound pleasing? No. He said, the strings have to be just right. And so in the same way, effort needs to be just right, and then one can extend that, of course, to all the other factors of that just right quality of effort, of devotion, of investigation, of concentration, so that sense of this just right quality is important to be, constantly reflecting on, so that our practice goes smoothly and bears fruit in terms of clarity and peace. So with these four foundations of mindfulness, certainly in the sutta on four foundations of mindfulness, and the Buddha encourages us to pay attention to the body. It's like mindfulness of the body is like, it's like the gateway to the heart, to the mind itself. Just because it's tangible, it's solid, but it also manifests the kind of truths that are, the truth of the Dhamma appears through the experience of the body. So that's a good, and of course, mindfulness, four foundations of mind, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of the mind itself, mindfulness of dhammas or of mental phenomena. But it's helpful I've certainly found that as the gateway, as the doorway, as a really important entry point into clarity, is getting tuned into the bodily experience, reflecting on it, or seeing how it manifests. Am I relaxed? Am I still? Am I anxious? Am I agitated? Am I restless? Because usually you can really feel it in the body. And so just exploring that and paying attention to that. And then just sort of seeing the truths of the body. And there's different, and you have to pay attention to how it affects you. Traditionally, like when one ordains as a novice, the first meditation that's given to one who is very first stepping into monastic training is the five aspects of the body: hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin, which are part of the 32 parts of the body, and sort of looking at the unattractive nature of the body, which is tends to be useful for most people, but you have to pay attention. Is it interesting? Does it help? Does it settle? Does it soothe? There's a story of, in the canon, probably Dhammapada commentary, I think, I'm not sure, but they were a disciple of Sariputta. He was ordained by Sariputta, he trained under Sariputta. Sariputta gave him the meditations on the 32 parts of the body, had him contemplate the aspects of, say, things like the charnel ground meditation. So, and the monk just was getting more and more depressed and fed up. He was ready to leave. And Buddha understood that and came to him and asked him how he was doing. And of course he said, I'm fed up. I'm ready to pack it in. And the Buddha, because of his kind of knowledge of people's backgrounds and past lives and conditioning, in this present life he was a goldsmith, and in former lifetimes he had been a goldsmith for a long time, and he loved beauty, he loved refinement. And so then what the Buddha did was give him a different meditation object. He gave him the meditation object. He gave him this beautiful yellow lotus and said, take this and meditate and contemplate and use it as an object of concentration and reflection. Of course, he was just getting something from the Buddha. It's just very inspiring and encouraging. But then, using that and taking that and then seeing the beauty of this yellow lotus and imprinting it on the mind, and the mind becoming very settled and delighting in that peacefulness and clarity. But then it doesn't take very long for a flower in tropical heat to start to wilt and to kind of start to lose its luster. And then that was catalyst for his insight. The mind was settled, the mind and the insight into all that's of a nature to arise, that has the nature to cease. That's sort of the doorway into the Dhamma. That's really classic shorthand for somebody who realizes stream entry. So that mindfulness of even something beautiful can be the doorway in. So there are this sense of balance, and one has to pay attention to what works, what doesn't work, what's helpful. And that sense of balancing. And also, a few weeks ago I gave a talk on the elements. And it's also another doorway of paying attention to the balancing of the elements. How do we experience these elements of earth, fire, water, air? Or the elements of solidity? Do we feel solid? Do we feel the ground is shaking underneath us? Do we feel stiff? Or do we just feel solid? How do the elements manifest? How can we balance them? Are we getting all heated up about something? Getting really worked up with the fire sort of burning over something? And how do we cool that? How do we balance that? And it's an air element of floating here, floating there. So, how do we get grounded? It's paying attention to how the felt sensation of being a being is composed of these four elements. It's a balancing, and it's another meditation tool that one applies with mindfulness as part of you realize you've got many, many tools available to you when you think in terms of say, of mindfulness. Because sometimes it is the way that mindfulness is presented, or we assume some. I've just got to be mindful. I've got to make my mind mindful and aware, and just have this non-judgmental awareness. So I'm just there. And you say, no, it's got to be reflecting, discerning, investigating, and lifting up. Say things that are, how do we inspire the mind? How do we encourage the mind? Or how do we not overestimate, underestimate the mind? Or what we're doing. And certainly, you know, how do we cultivate beautiful states of mind? There's an image that the Buddha gives of an elephant, you know, a big bull elephant going into a lotus pond and playing with in the water, taking the various water plants and playing them around with him, spraying water on his back, spraying here and there, and just really enjoying himself in the water. And then there's this little rabbit on the bank. It's wow, look at that. That's why I want to be like that. And the little rabbit jumps into the pond. Of course, he does not have the same bulk and capacity as the elephant, so he sinks. So you got to know your own strengths. You got to know your own capabilities, and you have to build towards that. So then sometimes with our, I want to sit up at my kuti and just go into jhana. I just want to have these insights and dwell in the bliss of complete liberation. Yeah, nice idea, but you get the foundations down. And pay attention to these foundations of mindfulness that you have. It takes time to cultivate the skills, cultivate the fluency with the practice and the training. But certainly, like Ajahn Chah used to always emphasize that, say, like, right, it's like samma samadhi, right meditation, right concentration, is an extension of right mindfulness. Any samadhi without mindfulness and awareness and alertness is really not going to be balanced. It's not going to be solid, not going to be steady. So then there's these foundations of mindfulness are really essential, important. But it's mindfulness in its pure sense it takes one to a place of stillness, takes one to a place of silence, and just to working with mindfulness so that there is a steadying of the heart. So not like forcing a mind to be steady or to be still or to be silent, but it's like a delighting in awareness and alertness, and the mind settles into clarity and stillness. So it's just playing with that aspect. Because we tend to be project oriented. We're making our practice, our training, a project for ourselves. It's a job. It's a duty we have to do. Which, I mean, to a certain extent, it is. But how do we hold it? And holding it in a way that's kind of light and easing into stillness and silence and listening. It comes to mind as an exchange that was probably somebody in conversation with Mother Teresa and asking her, what was the nature of her life of prayer, and how did she pray to God? And I don't say anything. I just listen. And then he said, "Well, what does God say to you?" He didn't say anything. He just listens. So it's just that moving towards stillness and silence. It's such an important aspect of this. The mindfulness in its essence. And so, there's things that we do as exercises in mindfulness, but it's also seeding the mind so that it's willing and interested in settling, in being silent, being still. And one finds that opens the heart to a place of willingness to relinquish or to let go. And in that sense of relinquishment and letting go. It's like in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, I guess Machima 140, which is a really important sutta with many layers, angles of Dhamma, which most of it I can't remember right now. Which is one of the sad truths of and there's so much good stuff that one can forget as well. But there is this aspect that in the sutta that the Buddha is pointing to foundations, or what Bhikkhu Bodhi translates as foundations, and the Pali is the word is adhitana, which is generally like resolve or determination. And so there's these four adhitanas. And also, certainly as resolve or resolution or determinations. Yanamoli translated as mode of expression. But Bhikkhu Bodhi said that how it's used and in its context, I think he, because it's in a footnote to that, and he said it's how it's used is much more, the context is foundation. So it's like Panya Aditan, Satcha Aditan, Chaganutan, Upasamaditan. So the foundation of wisdom, the foundation of truth, foundation of relinquishment, foundation of peace. And in the sutta, it says, one should not neglect wisdom. One should preserve truth. One should be devoted to relinquishment. One should train for peace. And so when with these four foundations, say them in the mind does not say conceive, and say conceiving, and when it isn't conceiving of being or non-being, then it's the mind is doesn't cling to anything in the world, which is actually an echo of the refrain that comes up in the Satipatthana Sutta. As each aspect of the Satipatthana Sutta, as one cultivates mindfulness in its different ways, there is a refrain that goes through the sutta. One cultivates mindfulness to the degree that one no longer clings to anything in the world. So that no longer clinging to anything in the world allows one to say in that Majjhima 140, it's that no longer clinging, it was not, let's say, that the relinquishing the kind of the conceiving mind and being able to dwell in mindfulness. And the Buddha sort of is going to say that when the tides of conceiving no longer sweep over one, one is called a sage at peace. This is one is at peace. And then what is that conceiving mind? That says, I am, is it conceiving? I shall be, is it conceiving? I shall not be, is it conceiving? So all of the machinations of becoming and being, or of not becoming, not being. Bhavatanha, vibhavatanha, gamatanha, anything, this impulse toward the craving, clinging, and that traps one. But then that non-clinging, that being devoted to relinquishment, being preserving truth, not neglecting wisdom, and training for peace. This is the doorway to the ending of all dukkha. So there's these four foundations of mindfulness. Yeah, it seems like a nice introduction to the basics of Buddhism, but can take one all the way. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.